It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Are some things that we think are going to change forever? Danny, you ever shaking hands with anybody again for the foreseeable future, at least?
I doubt it. I mean, maybe if I know you, maybe. Like, listen, next year at this time, I might shake Carmen's hand, sure. Am I shaking a stranger's hand on the street or going to buy a car, shaking the salesperson's hand? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't see a scenario where I'm going to be a handshake guy, and I always was. I'll be more of a kind of elbow bump, fist bump, but I just don't see it. Like, it was always a way to use a handshake was a great way to make a first impression. Like, you shake someone's hand, you give them a firm handshake, especially for the younger generation meeting an older person, like on a job interview. You shake hands, like you looked them in the eye. Like that was like a big thing. I remember my dad teaching me that.
That'll be interesting though when this ends, right? And people are going out for job interviews and the economy gets going again and people start getting those interviews. Will they walk into the interviewer's office, put their hand out to shake it, or will they not? But if they don't, will there be fear of, man, I'm making a bad impression by not shaking this guy or gal's hand right now?
Or they stick their hand out and the person interviewing them goes, yeah, I'm not a handshake.
Well, that'd be fine. But like my worry would be if you're interviewing for the job and you don't put your hand out because you don't want to touch them, but you also don't want to offend them because you want them to like you and hire you.
Right.
Like if the person says, I'm not going to shake your hand, that's fine. You're like, okay, just give me the job.
Right. But does it get your interview off on a weird foot?
And the reason we're talking about things that are going to go away, yesterday we had a heated debate on Cap suggested perhaps cash would go away due to the corona pandemic, and Chris pointed out that for young people like himself, cash is basically gone already, pandemic or not.
Yeah.
So our boss, Mike Thomas, and we made a list, mostly Mike made the list, of things that perhaps would disappear after the pandemic.
The handshake, gone. 100% gone. The cash thing, by the way, the poll results have a little bit of time, like an hour left. 50-50 right now, over 11,000 votes. Do you carry cash?
Pretty good web poll, huh?
It was a really good one. Really good. And then I've got to give you the other one. I haven't looked up the latest results on if I text you and we're friends and I say, need 2 seconds. Does that make it sound like it's urgent? I say no, because I know what my intention is. Hey, man, I need 2 seconds. If it's urgent, I'm texting Danny going, call me now. Urgent. Just need 2 seconds? Yeah, I'll get you. Yeah.
The I need 2 seconds. Like, the I need it. I need 2 seconds. It's important. I need it. Now, if you text somebody like, hey, can I have 2 seconds when you get a chance? Not an emergency. I need 2 seconds means, boy, Cap needs my time right now. The fact that he's saying 2 seconds means it's brief, so it's quick. He needs it, and it's quick. It's important. I got to call him back. Now, hey, when you get a chance, I could use 2 seconds. That's a different tone.
I also think the perception of answering that question has to do with how much you use the phone to begin with. If you're someone that makes a lot of phone calls, hey, I need 2 seconds, may not be that big of a deal. If you're a young person and you dread the text that then warns you that a call is coming, and then you have to have the worry about that phone call coming in at some point, I feel like that would change the perception of someone being like, oh man, something must be important because I got a warning shot that there's a phone call coming in here, and I don't usually talk to this person on the phone.
A mutual friend of ours, Cap, yesterday after the show I was texting with, because obviously I don't talk on the phone.
Interesting.
But a mutual friend of ours pointed out, not only are you the I need 2 seconds guy, you will leave a voicemail, and in the voicemail you will not say what the call is about. just to get the person to call you back. Instead of being like, Danny, this is Cap. I need to talk to you about tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
You'll just be like, hey, Danny, Cap, got to talk to you. Call me back. Yeah. Which then again makes somebody rush to call you back when you could easily just be like, hey, Danny, this is Cap. No big deal. Just wondering what's going on tomorrow's show. Shoot me a text or something. You leave the voicemail in a way that I have to call you back to find out what you need to discuss.
No, you don't, because you could very easily text me and go, what's up?
Well, now,
why didn't you just text?
Because Tom Cooper, who is the awesome producer of Sports Talk Live, like, I called him yesterday and he was in the middle of something and he texted me back, what's up? Is it important? Or can I? I'm painting. Can I call you later? And I texted back, all good. I booked so and so.
I'm just talking about your voicemail. In your voicemail, you never just say, hey, this is Cap. Wanted to touch base about this. It's, hey, this is Cap. Call me back when you get a chance. Like, you don't leave the subject in the voicemail, so people are like, oh, crap, now I got
it. I can promise you this. I made a vow to my wife that unless it's urgent, I will never be dialing your phone again.
Thank you.
But make
that on the Torah or the Bible.
But that's not why we're having this conversation. Cap, you're taking this very personally that Danny doesn't want to talk to you.
He's
just pointing out
personal.
That you leave sneaky voicemails thinking, leading people to believe that something is very urgent.
I left Danny a voicemail.
But you're leaving it like it's
something urgent. Has he done it to you,
urgent.
Chris?
Yeah, yes,
you've done 100%. It to this mutual friend.
Yes, and I agree with the mutual friend.
Well, if it's a friend, who is it?
I'm not going to out this mutual friend.
Don't worry about it. We don't release our sources. Who's your source?
Who's your source?
What do you got over there?
Who told you Scottie Pippen was mad at the Bulls?
Yeah, who's giving you this good information that you're going against the players so much in Major League Baseball? What's going on there, Cap? Our source. We're going to keep our source to ourselves. United front over here.
You guys are ridiculous.
Are we? Sources. Who's our source? We don't ask you who your source is.
Let's move on through our list. Video meetings. Do you think, I have a good friend who is in the commercial real estate industry. And I said, how's it going, man? He goes, how's it going? When these leases are up on a lot of the properties I've leased, these people are never going to come back or we're going to have to cut their rents. He goes, there's going to be a glut of office space where companies are going to start to go, why am I spending $8 million a year on rent in downtown Chicago for 100,000 square feet of cubicles? They can all work from home. We'll have a few meetings. We'll rent the conference office down at a hotel. Have a big thing, do our big meeting, and then, boom, everything else is on Zoom. Don't you think that's where it's headed?
Yeah, I think, well, before this whole pandemic.
Like, your wife's in the corporate world.
Yes, before this whole pandemic, to attract the millennials, and this is not, I'm not, you know, trying to offend the millennials, but to attract the millennials, my wife works for a Fortune 500 company. They changed their whole policy. They've pushed for more working from home. They've pushed for more a casual look. When my wife first started working there, she had to wear dress in a business casual. Now she can show up to work in jeans, and that's all shifted to make a more casual environment. With the addition of this pandemic, you're going to see more and more jobs where they say, if you're productive at home, you can get your stuff done at home, stay home.
I think Chris's wife, there is an office, but Autumn can work. She was on the road a lot, but when she was in Chicago, she could work from home, didn't have to go in the office.
Yeah. I mean, but the way to kind of add to the whole point that Danny was making is, like, a lot of these companies, especially the ones that are basing off what Silicon Valley does, is they want to create an environment where people want to be there. So even though you technically do not have to be in the office under normal circumstance, most employees show up every day and on time because they want to be there, and they have the choice that they can go home and they can work from home as many days as they want throughout the year, as long as they get the work done. So, you know, like Danny was saying, like, I know my wife's company, like, they aren't going back this year.
Yeah,
that's already been settled.
My neighbor,
and probably early 2021, they may not be going back either.
Yeah, my neighbor, who I told you went to Notre Dame with his wife, she said she was just told that her company, yeah, we're not coming back in the office minimum Jan. 1. And it's a big company.
But like the basis behind it is that if you set up a situation, a culture that people want to be there, not only do they want to be there, they want to spend more time there, they want to work harder for the company. So, like, that's kind of why they have those different restrictions. or lack thereof of restrictions.
And I think, like, gone are the day where it's like 8-hour days. Like, you have your job, you do your work. If you can finish your work in 6 hours, your work's done. If it takes you 12 hours, it takes you 12 hours. But, like, gone are the days where people have to be, like, confined for an 8-hour period.
Yeah, probably right. Where you get your 15-minute break and blah, blah, blah. How about the drive time? Like, I normally had to be in the car before 6 to be able to accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish before the show and get down here in a reasonable amount of time. Now, I left my house today. It was 7:28 when I got in the car. 7:28. And I'm down here at 8 o'clock. It's crazy that there's no traffic out there. Do you think we're ever going to have, to the extent it was, traffic jams like that? I don't mean a once in a blue moon thing. I'm talking like a daily commute where you're sitting in freaking traffic.
Dude, I'm ready for this quarantine and everything to end. I can't wait till life resumes. But the only great thing about it is there's no traffic. And I guarantee you there will be traffic again. Like, we live in Chicago. There's too many people. There's too many salespeople, teachers, people that actually have to physically go to work, that traffic's not going away. There are people that have office jobs that can work from home. That's fine, and that's a big percentage of these huge buildings around us. But there are so many people that it's essential for them to go to the office. We're never getting away from traffic jams.
All right, got to take a quick time out. We'll get back to our list because we got a bunch of stuff here. If you have a thought, 312-332-3776. And the poll from yesterday, getting ready to close. If someone texts you, I need 2 seconds, do you assume it's urgent? Right now, 57% say yes. You agree with Danny and Chris. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company. Sports talk while you're on the clock.
ESPN 1000 with Danny and Chris. I'm David Kaplan. So things that will change forever. We've talked about the handshake. When the elbow bump, as one of our fine listeners tweeted at me, Aaron in the Shy, says it's the most awkward thing ever. Yeah, it is, but it's also safe. People aren't going to shake hands. They're just not. I mean, we're worried about social distancing, and now you want me to put my hand on your hand, and I have no idea if you've washed your hands or what the deal is. Or it's just the way it's going to be.
Rewind that. You put your hand on your hand. So are you're coming in with a second hand for the handshake? What are you?
Your hand.
How do you shake
my
hands?
My hand on your hand.
Oh, okay. When I heard you say that, it kind of sounded, Danny, did it sound like to you that Cap's going for the handshake and here comes a third party?
No.
Into the handshake?
No.
Is that how you, that's how I heard it.
No,
I
thought, this is not, Cap was, this is not was, a hand threesome, no.
He was adding the third hand to the mix.
No, it's not a threesome here. It's
all right.
Two hands, my hand on your hand. I don't know if your hand's clean and you don't know my hand's clean. No, I don't want your germs. Sorry.
Web to web.
Little Smush on Twitter says, if you come into my office looking for a job and refuse to shake my hand, you can turn around and leave right now. Interview over.
Okay? Yeah, take that, young people.
Okay, good luck.
And your Snapchats.
I'm not
going to
go work for them then. So.
Isn't that like the most get off my lawn take ever? We're in a pandemic. No touching.
What's your name?
Right, I'm not touching. I mean, I don't get it.
You're not going to get my job unless you touch me.
Right. Like
what?
He's a little Smush. You're an idiot today.
Well, I don't know if you have to call Smush a name there, but
I said today. I didn't say he's an idiot. I said today, little Smush
only
is
today.
An idiot.
Yes. I think you were trying to sell a third hand in the handshake.
I was not. Bring it back. Just re-rack it, play it.
Best of luck to you. You're more than welcome to try and figure that out.
It's a two-handshake thing, or two-hand handshake. That's it. Back to our list already in progress. We talked about paying with cash yesterday and how much people don't want to use cash. 50-50 on 11,000 votes is pretty good. By the way, the two-second poll question from yesterday, came out 57-43 in favor of you guys. How about streaming radio and TV? Like, are you going to a movie theater anytime soon? Like, if Autumn said, hey, there's this new movie I really want to see. Yeah, it's great to get out of the house, go to the theater, get your popcorn if that floats your boat, watch the movie. They're all comfortable seating. But Danny said that he and his wife and kids watched some Disney movie last weekend.
Scooby-Doo. We bought it for $21.
Yep.
Bought the movie. Own it forever. By the way, it sucks. Bought the movie, Scooby-Doo.
It sucked?
Terrible. Horrible.
Did your kids think it was bad?
Love Scooby-Doo. No, they didn't think it was bad. My kids love Scooby-Doo. I loved Scooby-Doo growing up. This movie's terrible. $21 to buy the movie, Scooby-Doo. We own it now. If I took the family of five to the theater, which I would have done because my kids love Scooby-Doo. We had a Scooby-Doo-themed birthday party.
It's got to be $60
And my son was Scooby-Doo for Halloween. It would have been $60 to take the five of us, plus popcorn. So for us, we're hoping that in a positive way for families, this changes forever. Like, it would be great if movies started always releasing them straight to home. You miss the movie theater experience, and I'm sure for big movies like Titanic or the superhero movies, you want to be in a theater with Dolby surround sound. But to watch a family cartoon, to sit on the couch, make your own popcorn, and save $40, count me in. That's a change for the better.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think a lot of people are going to feel that way. 100%. 100%. Like tonight, my wife is going to see her dad. So she left today. And so it's me and the dogs. I'm excited. I'm going to get a movie tonight. I'm going to go on demand and I'm going to watch something. Or maybe I'll start Better Call Saul. I'll do something.
Did you finish Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
All right.
Phenomenal. I mean, like, phenomenal.
Isn't it?
Like 24, Sopranos, Breaking Bad, The Wire. Those are my, like, Mount Rushmore. I'd have to, I may be leaving someone out, but just off the top of my head, those four for me are amazing. Amazing. Like, I grew up on, remember the show The Fugitive?
Of course.
With David Janssen? An innocent man wrongly accused of the murder of his wife. That was an amazing show. Amazing. When I was in high school, so that show ran on local TV here at 12:50 at night. That's when it came on, 12:50. Do you know that my mom would wake my dad, my brother, and I up? I was like a senior in high school, and he was a sophomore. And as a family, we would watch that show at 10 to 1 because we all loved it. Yeah, it was spectacular. And there were people like, you're getting up in the middle of the night to watch a show? Yeah, we didn't have DVRs back then. It's just a different world. 312-332-3776. Grab a few calls, and we got a bunch more. Tom's in Oak Lawn. Hey, Thomas, what's up, Sparkles? Hey.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I turned on the show this morning. I just got in my car, and I have to disagree right away with the handshaking thing. I think people will shake hands again in the future. I don't think it'll happen tomorrow or maybe not even this year, but, like, there's a picture on social media of people wearing face masks during the 1918 Spanish flu at a football game. So I think people will shake hands again. I almost did about a week ago, and I caught myself. But I don't know. That's just my opinion. And I hope I'm right. And you guys have a great morning. Later.
You too. Have a great day, man. Stay safe and healthy. Okay, Tommy? Yeah, I'm sure it'll come back. I'm sure certain things will come back. I just don't know when.
I'm sure when there's a vaccine, we'll live life as normal.
I don't know. That's why as we go through this list, Daniel, like, will there ever be a mosh pit at a concert again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, you saw the videos of the people partying in the Ozarks over the weekend.
Yep.
People that want to party, people that want to have a good time are going to have a good time. Listen, 58-year-old men, 45-year-old men, I don't know how many of them are getting in mosh pits to begin with. Mosh pits are a young man game.
Mm-hmm.
tell a 23, 24, 25-year-old that's going to a concert not to mosh. They're not.
Have you ever been in a mosh pit, Cap?
I have.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? What were you moshing to?
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a mosh pit. I was all the way up front at a Springsteen concert.
You were where? You were at?
Body to body.
Ravinia?
No, I was not at Ravinia.
On the lawn?
Cap, an actual mosh pit where like the crowd makes a circle in the middle of the crowd, and guys are walking in a fast circle, just smashing each other.
No, that I've never been.
Body against body. Come on, Cap.
No, that no shot. That is a no shot. Kevin's in Naperville. Hey, Kev, what's up, Sparky?
Hi, not much. Thanks for having me on. 42. I work from home. I've worked from home for, you know, probably 11 years now. Prior to that, I worked in the Sears Tower for 5 years, and the office culture was great. We kind of had like a boiler room culture with a bunch of guys just selling telecom and just partying all the time. So definitely miss that. But nowadays, I mean, work from home, I'm way more productive. I don't have anybody distracting me. It's just a lot easier. You can work later, and it's just a lot more convenient with, you know, a lifestyle now. And I also want to add, I love how Danny and Black constantly break your balls, Cap. I love the show. Thanks for having me on.
You're the best. Appreciate you, Kevin. Stay safe, okay, kid?
You too.
Thanks, man. We have a lot of fun in here. We do. These guys are a little out of their minds at times, but we have a lot of laughs and a lot of fun. Very blessed. 312-332-3776. Danny, I was in a grocery store I will not name. I went to the grocery
store. You want me to guess which one?
No.
Wait, why won't you name it? You name everything else.
I'm not going to name the store.
Do they give you a discount?
Oh,
no, they do not.
This was a bad experience. That's why. See?
So I went into the grocery store. Nope.
Aldi?
Not Whole Foods. Nope.
Marianos?
Not answering any questions. I went in there, and I wanted to get some avocados and some tomatoes.
Rock hard ones?
Okay.
I know where you get your avocados.
So I pick up the avocados. I take one at a time, set it in the bag. I don't grab 10 of them. I touch one avocado in the bag. Touch the next in the bag. Now I walk over to get these Roma tomatoes. They're like a little smaller than like a beefsteak tomato. I like them. And
tomatoes are bad for your joints. Go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. I walk over to the tomatoes. As I get close, a lady walks up to the tomatoes before me. So I stand back because I'm going to socially distance. I'm not going to walk up right next to her and start reaching in. She picks up one tomato, brings it up by her eyes, looks at it, sets it back down. Picks another one up, sets it back down. I didn't buy any tomatoes, and I was mortified. And I thought, do I say something? Like, hey, could you quit groping all the tomatoes? I really don't want your germs on them. How would you have handled that?
And I've got to the point in the grocery store where it doesn't bother me if people touch the produce. I realize that I have to touch the produce. I'm not going to buy crappy avocados, so I kind of feel them myself.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, when I take them home, my wife puts the produce through a 3-hour washing process where it's in vinegar, it's in water. So, listen, people got to touch it. They want to buy what's good. I probably would have said nothing.
I would suggest, I was at the grocery store yesterday. The biggest faux pas that I've seen in the grocery store isn't touching produce. It's so many people wearing masks, but the mask is only covering their mouth.
Yeah,
not the
and
nose.
And it's not their nose. Like that got me more. I was worried about that way more than touching anything in the actual store. Because like every third person you walk by either has the mask down over, like barely covering the face or not covering the nose at all. Like, have they not watched the news in the last 3 months?
Right.
And also the people at the grocery store that bother me is they just don't appreciate the social distancing. Like if I'm at the rack of getting eggs, somebody thinks they could squeeze in and also get eggs with me.
Agreed.
That pisses me off more than them touching my avocados.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. Like I'm like a freak about that. A freak. By the way, did you guys like the masks I bought you today?
Glorious Chicago masks.
Chicago flag masks. I got the boys. I got them from the Denim Lounge yesterday in Roscoe Village. My guy David owns the store. He texted me. I got him in. So I went and bought my wife, me, you guys.
Thank you.
There you go. 312-332-3776. We will get more of your calls, but Jason Stark on if we'll have a baseball season next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Jason Stark is a Hall of Famer. He is as connected in the game of baseball as anyone, and he's an amazing wordsmith, and he joins us now. Jason, thank you for taking time. How are you, my man?
Cap, I'm hanging in there. How about you, buddy?
We're hanging in there, hoping we get baseball back. I have said from the start of this whole thing, I don't want to hear the owner's side or the player's side. I want him to go in a room, close the door, and figure it out. And Max Scherzer sounds out of touch. The owners who are saying we can't pay any of this, they sound out of touch. Where do you fall on all this?
Yeah, threshing this out publicly is really working out well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've covered way too many of these things, and I've seen this movie way too many times. I really can't tell you why every single baseball negotiation has to start this way, but they do. I keep reminding myself, or at least for the last 25 years, they don't all end this way, but this is how they start. It's always ugly. I tweeted this earlier today. I had two people in baseball predict for me at the start of the week this is just how it would go. There'd be an MLB economic proposal that the players would trash, then there'd be a player response that the owners would trash. And then we'll find out where this is leading. But it's just painful to watch it play up this way. It always is.
A friend of mine used this word today, and I thought it was perfect. We need a hero. I would love to see someone of consequence. It could be an owner. Mark Cuban's really outspoken in basketball. Somebody in baseball, whether it's an owner or Mike Trout or Anthony Rizzo or John, pick the big-name player who makes a lot of money and have them go, I'm doing a Zoom call at 3 o'clock today. I'm going to open the channel up to all the media that want to be a part of it. I got a statement. And guess what? I'm upset with my brethren, with our owners. We need to shut our mouths. We got 35 million people who are either on food stamps, they lost their job, they got furloughed, they don't know how to feed their family, and we are out of touch with America. We got to fix it. They'd be a hero, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a cool idea. We need more than one hero, but we do need that group of players, that group of owners to speak up. They're out there. There's an incredible number of people who are really motivated to play and to find a way to play. I know it just doesn't feel like it right now, but those people are out there. And I honestly don't care if they step forward publicly or behind the scenes, but we need them to drive the conversation from here because, man, it feels like politics, doesn't it? Like where you just hear the voices that have extreme views on either side, and all those people in the middle never seem like they get heard. It's time to hear from them.
I completely agree, and I would love, and I can't believe that there isn't somebody out there like Max Scherzer. He sounds out of touch. Blake Snell sounds out of touch. But the other side sounds equally out of touch. I can't believe that there isn't one of those people out there, like you're talking about, who's motivated, that calls both sides to the carpet. That's what I'm surprised by.
Yeah, well, I mean, does it have to happen publicly? You know, Max Scherzer is heavily involved in the union. He's on the board. He's on the negotiating committee. He's a Scott Boras client. You understand why he would think the way he thinks. This is like really, this is the script that players in his category are following right now.
Yep.
I honestly think that what has to happen is not so much the people you're talking about tweeting right. or speaking to you or to me. I think we need them to start maneuvering behind the scenes. The way these things have always gotten figured out in the past is there's been a lot of back channel talk between problem solvers. And I think that's a group of more moderate agents than Scott Boras. I think it's a group of more moderate owners than the people we have heard from. And those people need to get together, craft a path forward, and make that happen. Like right now, if you're just listening or reading, you would see no middle ground. I've heard people behind the scenes lay out a path to me. The problem is getting these two sides to even express and accept each other's premise. They don't even agree on that. It's obvious from where they are.
So do you think we're going to play baseball?
People keep asking me, just because they know I'm a glass half full kind of guy, if I'm optimistic about that. I think they will play, but I don't think it's possible to use a word like optimism right now. I'm also a realistic person, and I think the realist in me says the pressure is going to get to be immense to play. The NHL is obviously going to play. Mm-hmm. The NBA is obviously going to figure it out.
Yep.
The NFL is obviously going to play. How can baseball allow itself to be the one sport that doesn't play? That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And I think in the next couple of days, the pressure is going to get so hot. What's the over-under on the president's first tweet about this?
Oh, God.
I got tomorrow.
Yeah, he absolutely right. And, boy, I look at this, and the Cubs say that they have 70% of their revenue comes from their game day experience because they started their own TV channel, which is going to not generate for at least a while the money they were making even through their other deals, which they are now out of, NBC Sports Chicago, et cetera. So Maybe the Liberty Media filing of the Braves at 63%, maybe that is accurate. But you can't tell me they can't do better than the offer they made yesterday.
They're going to have to. There's been a lot of people breaking down that offer and trying to analyze that offer. That offer is going nowhere. I really would spend 5 minutes trying to figure out how this affects Anthony Rizzo's salary. Seriously, it's not happening. It was really what that was. That was Rob Manfred flipping the ball over the net and saying to Tony Clark, all right, what do you got, man? What's your idea? And their idea is going to be, we do not accept your rationale that you are going to lose money. I mean, I keep thinking about this. 2 months ago, they came to an agreement, and now here we are 2 months later. They cannot even agree on what they agreed on. And they've got to get past that. There's going to have to be some acceptance of the idea that teams are going to lose some amount of money. And you know what the real compromise is here? It's to accept some further reduction in salary, but to try to protect players going forward, free agents this winter, all the players who are unsigned going into next offseason. That's more than half of them, by the way. If there's not some protection for that group, what they figure out now almost doesn't matter because that group will really take a bath.
And I keep hearing, and I've said, I wish the owners would be able to be more forthright because we have so much mistrust on both sides. They're never going to open their books because after the 21 season, you got a brand new collective bargaining. They're not going to give them ammo today they can use against them 2 years from now, right?
I think that's true. And I also think there's not enough time to go through every team's books and determine who's making what, who's losing what, who makes what percentage of revenue from what source. It's going to be June in 4 days. I know that fourth start date, that's not etched in stone. There really is no magic date to get it done. There's no magic number of games they have to play. Like, all of this is flexible, but the calendar is flipping. The days go by, and the kind of talk that we're hearing, reading about, it's just not productive. we've got to move past this.
Well, hopefully it all gets worked out, and it's a lot of, you know, hand-wringing on both sides. And both should feel this. Both sides should go, we made a bad deal. And when both sides feel that way, we'll be in a good spot.
Yeah. I'm reading quotes today by Don Fehr, who used to run the Baseball Players Union, now runs the Hockey Union. Mm-hmm. That feels like the good old days now, right? And Don Fehr's talking about how the two sides in hockey went into their negotiation with the understanding that nobody can win. Here's what we need to jointly accomplish. There's been no sense of that in baseball. It feels like there never is. And just a real sign of the distrust that exists and the dysfunction in their relationship. I'm a peacemaker. I'm happy to help. I think you are too. But right. I don't know how people like us can fix this. But you know what we can do? We can be part of the group applying pressure.
Agreed.
And that pressure is our biggest hope right now for getting this done, because you can't drive the sport off the cliff. That's a horrible idea. We both remember what happened in 1994 when they canceled the World Series. This would be worse. That did not happen in the middle of a pandemic. That did not happen when 41 million people were out of work. None of those people care about the problems of these people. They just want to play. To drive the sport off the cliff is a disaster, period.
And they may never recover from it. Hey, man, I appreciate you taking time. Love your work. And keep it up.
Cap, always a pleasure, man. Be well.
You too. You're the best. There he is, Jason Stark, the Hall of Fame writer. We're now with The Athletic. 312-332-3776. Back to our list in progress. We'll be right back.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, this hour, Chris, is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring, Danny, the card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying safe and healthy out there. 312-332-3776. So we have a list of things we think will change forever. Danny got a new one from our boss, Mike Thomas. I saw him in the hall. He said, you ever going to eat birthday? Now, again, I know you don't eat sugar. I don't eat sugar. But the concept of a birthday cake after someone else has blown all over it.
I've always thought that was a disgusting kind of thing we do, a disgusting tradition. Someone blows all over, especially go to like a kid, a 4 or 5 year old's birthday. They spit all over it.
Yeah.
Probably not. Now that you point that out, I don't see people rushing to eat birthday cake that someone blew all over.
Right. So why don't we come up with an invention of like this thing that has?
I got you. Yeah. Fire extinguisher.
No.
Oh,
it's like a little handheld thing that has candles, like
a fan.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Like a handheld thing that has like one candle for the present, one for the past, one for the future. They're actually not real fire. It's like some kind of a little digital thing. And then the little kid pushes the button, or the birthday person pushes the button. It blows out the candles. And then we cut the cake. And I don't have to have your spit all over my cake.
Why don't we just have a cupcake for the person to blow on? And then they can eat their own cupcake.
You're missing the concept then of sharing.
No,
in
you
the
have
birthday
a birthday cake. No, there's a giant birthday cake. But I'm saying, let's say it's Chris's birthday. We have the birthday cake,
the
but then
him.
We'll put the candles in the cupcake so Chris has something to blow on.
Good point.
But it doesn't have to affect the rest of the group.
That will work.
You know what I think is going to change forever? Gyms. Gyms and gym membership.
Agreed.
When this whole quarantine started, I held on going to the gym as long as I could, and I realized my gym's a nasty place to begin with before coronavirus even happened. I got weights for my garage. I got a bench for my garage. I've now turned my garage into a nice little gym because working out's important to me.
Uh-huh.
I'm not
rushing.
What are
you going to do in the winter?
Yeah, I'm not rushing back.
Is it cold in there?
Yeah, so I'll wear a sweatshirt and some sweatpants. It's not, you know, it's never going to be minus 10 in there. But I'm not rushing back to the gym until there's a vaccine. But I feel like a lot of people will do this. You know, there are people are doing workout classes over Zoom.
Yep.
I think you've done that. I mean, people have done things similar to that. I don't know if gyms, the way we know them, will continue to exist. Obviously, like the big places like LA Fitness, maybe. But the little boutiques, it's going to be hard for them to compete with people just working out at home.
I was talking to my friend Danny Wysocki over at NBC Sports Chicago. She and her husband decided they're not going back to the gym anytime soon. So they ordered a Peloton. Do you know that you can't get a Peloton now till like September? They're completely sold out.
Dude, I know all about it. I went right when this started. I told you on the air, I went to Dick's Sporting Goods to buy some weights. Sold out. Like, you couldn't buy a single weight. I just bought a bench for my house. There was like a waiting list of 3 weeks for the bench to get delivered.
How much were the free weights when you looked at the start of this, Danny? Because I was looking online like 3 days ago, and I think I was on Dick's Sporting Goods website. It was like $65 for one dumbbell.
Yeah.
For like a 45-pound dumbbell. I was like, all right, I'll cut my losses. I'll get like 245s, 250s. I'll just mix it up. And if I plateau, I'll just start doing something else for a couple days and then go back to it. Like, it's not a big deal. And I saw the price. I was like, oh, I guess I'll wait. I guess I'll wait on that. Yeah. Wait, was that like, is that like double the price it was at the start of this?
It was not that much money.
Like, if you go to Play It Again, is that still around, Play It Again
Sports? I don't know.
I remember I bought dumbbells there. I have dumbbells from 3 pounds to 80s in my basement.
You've got like a full gym down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're only using the 80s, though. I mean, yeah. Don't even mention the threes. Why are you mentioning the threes, Cap? You're a stud.
The threes.
80s.
No, my wife likes the threes. When she's on the Peloton, they have some like arm
segments. I know.
But
you're throwing up the 80s, right? 75s, 80s.
Oh, yeah. 80, 85, yeah. Whatever it is.
Curls, doing curls with the 75s.
Yeah. No shot. It's just. Like, I put that gym together in 04 when we moved in, and I've added to it over the years, never thinking that's going to be where I go for the foreseeable future. It's, like, crazy.
Well, why
would
you
use your gym in the first place?
Huh? Why would you build that gym if you weren't planning on using it? Like, I've been to your basement. Uh-huh. If I had your gym, I would never have been a member of a gym.
Never.
Never.
Yeah, like, you have a beautiful gym in your house.
Yeah, but
here's a sauna. You've got a gym and a sauna. Like, you have a Peloton. You've got weights from 3 to 80. You've
got
benches.
A bench, like, a rack. You've got the whole thing.
Before this, you shouldn't have been wasting money on a gym.
Here's the problem, Danny. I leave at 5:30 in the morning.
You don't go back to your house at all?
And I... No. No, I go for
radio. Throughout the
day. Yes.
But you've told us on the show that you work out before you come here.
Now, because there's no traffic. I normally would come down here and work out because I've beaten all the traffic, go to the gym, work out, go to radio, go to TV, and then I had the Cubs. I walk in the house, it's 11 at night. Okay. What am I working out at home?
Maybe I'm the crazy one. Maybe our listeners can help us out. But I'm pretty sure you've told us in the past, pre-pandemic, that you would work out before you come in here.
I just said that.
Okay. So that's at home. Right,
I would not be able to because of the traffic.
But you've done shows where you've said, I got a good Peloton in this morning.
Yeah, a 20-minute Peloton or 30-minute ride. I'm talking about doing my whole workout. There's no chance. I'm not getting up at 3. No chance. Zero. And I use it on the weekends. I also put that together because I had a son who's a college football player. And
it's a great gym.
And he was able to...
Are you selling memberships?
No shot.
For your gym? Can Danny and I get a membership to your gym?
Zero chance. But it's been great. And my wife always used it, too. She's not a member of a gym at all. She does not like going to a gym and never has.
Smart.
She's always wanted to work out at home. She does Insanity. She does that. P90X, she's done that. But she still does Insanity. Loves that. So it's been great for her, and when our kids were at home, it was great for them. I always had to leave to get downtown, and I like the gym experience. I do. I like interacting with the same people I see. I miss seeing those people. Some of them I still call and actually talk to on the phone or text with them because I miss them. For other people, they don't. They just do their deal and go. Danny does, has no interest in interacting with people there.
Oh, at the gym? Don't talk to me. Are you crazy?
Well, he's got work to do, Cap. It's not a social environment for him.
It's called a workout, my friend, not a social out, not a hangout.
I get my workout in, but I also enjoy the interaction of some of my friends there.
I can't wait to be a member of Cap's gym in his basement. I'm signing up.
Never happened.
And then can we have an all-you-can-eat membership, too? Can we go from your gym upstairs to your organic-filled kitchen and just
eat?
Oh, my God. It would be the life.
We're moving in. I want to move in.
It's all yours.
You've got space?
I do. Kids' bedrooms are all available to you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Ramona Shelburne's going to join us at 11:35. She and Woj have been all over the NBA's return to play. She also was front and center with some great reporting on the Last Dance documentary and its fallout. So Ramona's going to join us at 11:35. Can the Bears win the NFC North? Can they win it? That's next.